So today, one of the things that I have struggled with for as long as I know myself has been to truly accept the I that is me. And I know it's not the best l way to language it, but it's the best way for Gail that makes sense for Gail. And I tell you all, every time I speak, that I'm speaking to myself, and hopefully you get something from it. All right. Because I am so engaged in what it is that I know. What is it I know about me? What is it I know about the truth? What is it I know from our teaching? The philosophy, from our teaching, the science of mind, right? And so, choosing the power of the individual, to be one of the things I wanted to talk about was very definite in a sense, very purposeful for me. And sometimes I'm here and there and kind of a spaced out with my thoughts, and or I would be very willing to accept what is given me, but this time I really chose this. And I don't know if the right word is predecessor, but Kaylee really laid out a beautiful foundation last time. So Kaylee, here I am bowing in your presence. You are amazing. And you've really opened up that space to allow my individuality, who I am, to be okay, and who you are, how each and every one of you that's looking back at me right now, how you are and how your love and your idea of who you are, Miss Val. She has been my, I call her my teacher because Val used to know all the thing, all the words that I'm trying to figure out and fit in my talks when we were at, particularly when we were at, in at the Hampton Inn. And so sometimes I would try to find my words and Val will just fit it in, or she would make sense of my sentence because sometimes I don't speak American. And so, being grateful for the people, the love that have always surrounded me, from Reverend Hillary, you have been the cornerstone in a sense of why I am here. What's that? Maybe 2020 to 2024. How many years is that? 1990. Well, about 20 years ago, right? Where I met you at the Celebration Center. And although I was impulsed and moved by wanting to know who Ernest Holmes was because of the fact that I bought this big book, which I intended to carry back because Gail does not read big books like those. I bought it at one of the bookstores that I was feeling so hungry and thirsty for something more in my life. And when I read about Ernest Holmes, I always talk about the fact that I kissed that book all night because it's the first time I ever was able to feel so relieved, so loved, so cared for. I apologized to his wife forever. I didn't know, who Ernest Holmes was. I didn't do all that thing, but I just like, this is so good. I love this man. And so when I went into Celebration Center and met Reverend Hillary and met your idea of freedom, your idea of not having attachment. And it's okay to enjoy, which is one of your sermons you talked about, Reverend Hillary. It's okay to enjoy your neighbor's Christmas lights if you didn't have any, or if you didn't feel like putting up any. because the whole neighborhood was lighted up. And that is where you found your joy. And Reverend Hillary, you found joy in so many simple things, right? So I loved how I was embraced and how I felt. I felt so like, really taken care of, Judy and Connie and Carolyn. I mean, it was just like a sisterhood, and there were men there, but I felt more drawn and cared for and loved by these women. So I am so grateful coming through the years to have beautiful mentors. So one of the things that I was very, very happy to see from or to read from the book, The Philosophy of Ernest Holmes, and in the chapter which was The Power of the Individual, was act as though I am and I will be. Excuse me. I know some people may have heard, this phrase in the past, as pertaining to the AA circles, because it's one of the things they think was explicitly, came from the Bible, and they do Bible-based type of caring for each other with the addictions, right? But I was very, very happy to know that it is not. It didn't come from the Bible, but it came from Ernest Holmes himself. And so I embraced that. So one of the other things that I talked that I felt or maybe read, I think I read it, was, that life cannot withhold itself from you. All that life is and is fully given to you to enjoy. And I think that came from another quote of Ernest Holmes, but I have to find out more about it. Forgive me, I didn't get the quotation down. So where am I going with this? The power of the individual. So Lorian and I, as most of you all know, I took a kind of a long vacation. Not doing that again, particularly because of Lorian and her particularly medical needs, and her needs were not met. And so it took a lot of the joy away from me in particular. Well, I shouldn't say it took. I found that I became so enwrapped in what was going on for her that I couldn't find the joy of being in the celebration atmosphere of the carnival that I go to every year. I did take part. I participated as much as I can. I did a lot of, dancing and going out to one place to the other like we normally do every time. And then the road celebrations for 2 days, we were doing, on the road, just dancing and having fun and just being ourselves. But because Lorianne also, with even in her pain, wanted to participate, and she wanted to participate long before we left, because this is something that has to be ha that is well orchestrated from the point of they have to know what you want, so they have to make the outfits and the headdresses and the entire costume. So each section, and a section might have maybe 200, 300 people. And there are like scores of sections, so it's thousands of people on the road. Each section has a different maker, a different seamstress, a different designer, a different costume, this, right? And so it has to be orchestrated. So Lorianne made, paid for her costume long, long in advance, and I know she was looking forward to it. And I was so happy she was able to be in that space because for years and years and years, she would never do it. So she's been doing it for the last 3 years. And I think she got the bug that her mom has, right? To party and to feel good. And I am so grateful that she is in that space because everything that counts is that you feel good, right? And never and I don't think she was afraid to welcome that good feeling. I call that good feeling love. So TM and Felicia was definitely in the same idea, the same zone of never be afraid to welcome love, right? So love is life, in my perspective. And life is God's perfect and eternal essence. And if life is God's perfect and eternal essence, and I am part of that, I'm existing. So I must be perfect and eternal because our philosophy, our belief, my belief is God is everywhere. There is not a place where God is not. And if God is perfect and eternal, then who am I? Right? I am that essence of everything that is, simply put, right? So when I am talking about actors, though I am, and I will be, I don't really have to act as though I am perfect and whole and that I am the essence of everything, because I'm coming from that underlying idea that I am. But how that shows up sometimes in our lives is pretty kind of difficult to sort of to equalize, to balance that even when I am going through the difficult times, the hard times, am I seeing myself as perfect and eternal? Am I seeing myself as the essence of everything that is, right? There are times, and I'm gonna be very truthful. There are times when I'm like, I don't know how to hold on to these kind of truths. And I'm talking about not me as the princess, but I am talking about me as maybe the grouch every once in a while, right? When things become really, really difficult. And what do I call difficult? Difficult in a way for me is what I think I it's is over or is over overbearing maybe situations present themselves in a way where I may not have the resources, I may not have the know-how, I may not have the skill to be able to determine what's the next move. And as a result of that, what happens is that I feel that I'm the one that has to do it. And if I don't do it, then it's never done. And so I get into my space like that. And although it's wrong, when I say wrong, it is erroneous thinking because if the life of God is perfect and eternal, and it's the presence of everything that is. Why can't I pull from that in that moment and tell myself that's what's going on, right? Most times I would say, I will step back, I'll take a deep breath, and I will say, the essence of God is moving through this. I know this has a better ending. I know I could hold on to dot, dot, right? But there are the times when it's like I just have low confidence in outcomes. And this is where I need to remember who I am. And who I am can be anything. And so that's one of the reasons why I truly, 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 truly love. I don't know why I chose it. I don't know why. Actually, I didn't choose it first. I actually had another thing, and then Connie called and said, "Hey, we have some, kind of manipulation of the schedule here. So and so wants this and that." And I'm like, "Oh Lord." And so I have to go back now to the individual, and I was happy because something resonated in me when I saw it as well, right? So sometimes when, like Connie says, and I hold on to that truth for forever, when we think things are going wrong in our lives, it's actually when they're going very right, right? So it's about how do I move into that space of acting as though I am, and it will be even when things are going upside down. So I encourage you to remember that phrase, act as though I am and I will be for everything. But the and it's not but, and the act as though I am, you can have it penetrate whatever it is that may be going awry, whatever may be happening in our bodies, presenting as less than the joyful essence that is God. We call that sickness. We don't like to say that word too loud because it's an anomaly in a way, right? However, put that covering or coating over it. Act as though I am. Well, how do I want to be when I'm sick? How do I want to be when I'm upset and can't kind of find my footing, right? It's a short phrase, and I really hope we could embody it, but embody it for the right reasons. Well, for the reasons of knowing that what are the qualities of God I want to bring to this? Act as though I am. So I am what? Right? I am magnificent. What does magnificent mean? Well, how does God show up as magnificent, right? And so God shows up as, being the rock. God shows up as high confidence. God shows up as belief in myself. God shows up as divine, right? And then we have to kind of penetrate what is divinity. How does divinity show up? We all know it's more love. It's more embracing of all that is. It's saying, like Kaylee said, you are the face of God, right? I see myself in you. And it's not only human you. We have animal use. We have inanimate object use. Because come on now, if everything is God and we are the essence of God, then God doesn't discriminate, right? And I got to really center that within me. If I am the face of God and God is reflected in everything, then I am reflected in all that is. I am reflected in the essence of this perfect and eternal idea of life, right? So in life, the one thing I think we cannot do as human beings, because of the very nature of our beingness, is to always choose what happens to us. And but the idea of having the confidence that I am the essence of everything, to me, I feel that I am also choosing what comes to me in order to move me into higher confidence and have this idea of divine or truly moving into my divine nature, which in itself will become more of who I am. God never stays small, right? For what we know of the idea of life. Life will never stay small. Life has to grow. It has to move into a place where it's always giving. It's the givenness of life that proliferates more life. And life is the gift that we are. And if we are God's gift, and God's gift is always ready to become more, always ready to be more of itself, then we are that idea of the entirety of God as we move into the idea of fullness, right? So, Lorian and I, when we came back from Trinidad, sorry, excuse me. She invited me. We do have some, we kind of pull and tug with each other as well. And, maybe a lot of me is in her and a lot of her is in me because our lives have been so intricately tied in with each other over the last 18 years, when she should have been out, and about, from college to her big life out there. She is now intricately involved with me because of her initial accident and then the things that happened after that. I needed to be in her life for one reason or the other. Of course they've moved her into the highest form of independence that she can have, and I still know that life has so much to explode in her that I know she's going to get the independence, excuse me, that she needs. But for right now, we are intricately tied together. And what happens when you are tied together with the person that you live together? Sometimes, things happen, right? So she has such a big heart that she one day said, "Mom, let's start 75 hard." I'm like, "What is that?" Have you all heard of 75 hard? So it is a challenge in a way that challenges you to certain tasks, and parts of the task is to meditate or to read devotional, at least 10 pages of a devotional every day. I moved into meditation and, a deeper form of meditation with that as well, because it was a good challenge for me to pick up. The challenge also had to do with exercising twice a day, one indoors, one outdoors, at least 45 minutes. Another challenge was to drink at least 4 liters of water or fluids, and that kind of stuff. And so I am like, oh my goodness, I don't know. But because I wanted, oh, and then you have to choose a diet. It doesn't mean to go on a diet, but choose a food source that sustains you, that gives you the quality of life that you prefer or desire, and stick with it for 75 days. And so the key for this is that it develops your mental agility, sort of, and it strengthens you, gives you kind of courage, right? If you miss any of the things in a day, you have to start over. So who wants to start over after you reach a certain point? Anyhow, so we decided to do that, and since then, my meditations have become very powerful. Not only am I doing an online meditation every morning with Reverend Trish. She has been doing this for years, and I used to be there, but I stopped, and now I'm doing it again. And this time, it's like more purposeful. But I'm doing my meditation with once I'm finished the meditation, I go into choosing. And I don't know if you see this book, but it says it's a guide for the advanced soul. And it says, hold a problem in your mind. Open this book to any page, and there will be your answer. And I am telling you, I have never journaled the way I've journaled in the past. So some of my journaling really led me to the point of feeling really good and strong about my spiritual life, about the idea of who I am and how I show up as God, right? In the past, I used to be shy about that, but hey, there is something within me that I know to be true. It is called life. And that life I know can never die. And if life can never die, but keeps on moving, then anything that is moving must grow. Everything that is stagnant will be disturbed, and it will shrink, and it will eventually fade. That's never a quality of life. Even when one is sick, what happens to life? Life wants to get better. Life wants to move on. Life wants to say, come on, you got to get up from that body and put that body back to work and stretch and right. So I am feeling lots of aches and pains, even though I thought I was in shape for the carnival, because you have to be in shape to be dancing for like 2 weeks before carnival and the 2 days of carnival. You gotta be in shape. And I think I was pretty much in shape, but just the idea of focus and doing it on a daily basis has re made me realize that life that is in me, it is eternally living, whether I want to or not. So when I am done and out, does the life get done and out? Not really. I am getting done and out because of the variations of my types of experience in which I go through. But there is something within me that is unmovable, and that says, like, it speaks to me. And I have my little stone that has the actual thing on it, which is, be still and know that I am God, right? So every time I would have a meditation, and sometimes we have a topic of meditation, I would go into the writing about it after, which is something I never really did. I always did my meditation and prayer, and then I would move on, right? But after the meditation, I read this from the book. I just opened the book, and anywhere my finger landed, I used that as the guide, and I would read it. And one of them said, this is my diary. Every moment of my life is infinitely creative, and the universe is endlessly bountiful. And just put forth a clear enough request, and everything your heart desires must come true to you. And I put in must come true to me. I know the time is going for us. And so this is one of the things that I read. And because I started putting myself in a space of bountifulness, and I knew that Lorianne needed, her van has been down for a while, and it needed a lot of work, and work is costing money. And then because she can't get the work, she couldn't get the sticker, and then they were towing her van like crazy, and we had to find the money. It's like, what is going on, But after I read this, that every moment of my life is infinitely creative, and the universe is endlessly bountiful, just put forth a clear enough request, and everything your heart desires must come true, right? And that day, that evening, Lorianne said somebody reach out to her and ask her, what is it that, she may need in order to, to start her van again. And so even just having been in the question of, something to look forward to, right? They haven't made a promise or anything, but just the idea we were talking about it, and knowing that these are the needs, it has been uncovered, right? So I really, really, really love the idea of be still and know that I am God. And from the standpoint of who I am, I know who I am. I can be frivolous. I can be spontaneous. I could be mischievous. I could be, I've been diagnosed, full disclosure, with ADHD for a very long time, since I was a child, right? And a lot of my life comes from that spontaneity, in a sense. But what I didn't realize is that ADHD would play a big mess on me as I get older, right? It can throw one into tons of, depending on the kind that you have, and I have, distraction. I have disorganization as parts of my diagnosis, and that is causing lots of crazy stuff happening. But at the same time, it's the crazy stuff that gets me crazy. And because I don't pay attention too well, I miss stuff, and I miss deadlines, and I beat myself up, and a lot of things just keep happening, 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 happening. And I just didn't like me recently, prior to this, or even after that, because more and more stuff would come up, right? And so the one thing that I said to myself was, I don't know how I'm going to make me work, but at the same time, I was truly ready to move into that place of be still and know that I am God, right? So any type of maladjustments that I know my life, I was experiencing in my life, when I recognize the awesomeness of life and love. And then one of the days I read from this book again, to love my don't push yourself away, or don't push the stuff away. Love the stuff. Love what you are. I can't find it now, but it was one of the most amazing revelations for me that even going through what I have been going through and not feeling good about myself, I was still able to love me, love the idea of the aversion I felt in myself about myself, the aversion I had about screwing up my, I'm going to say, friggin' life, right? Leaving a wake of disorder and procrastination and da 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 da. What happens when you do all that? You become unhappy. So I leave all of that in the wake of me, and that I had found, I that took me over in a sense. But when I opened the book and I read, in order to move into a space of love, you gotta love all of you and love everything in your space, in your aura, in your, whatever it is that you feel is happening, all of that deserves love, right? And so one of the things in meditation I recognize is I had an aversion to who I am. Not necessarily me, but who I am obviously was me, right? So I literally had an aversion to me. And so I was pushing me away. And the more I push, what would happen is the more you would get the pushback, right? And so when I recognized that I should no longer push against, but maybe lovingly release could be another word that I could use again about push against. When I start to lovingly release the idea of screwing up my life, and instead, if you release something, you got to replace it with something. Otherwise, you're going to have a void which may create more chaos. So when I release screwing up my life, that I am, blaming da da da, I had to accept something in return when I release the aversions. So I accepted love, and I accept love for everything I procrastinated on, every disorganization, every clutter, everything. And so I'm going to stop here because this has been my life that I talked about. But what I would like for each one of us to know, moving forward, is that we are self-choosing, and when we cannot help but self-choose, because this is the nature of our divinity. Life permeates everything. And so we are always in the midst of life, which is eternal. So therefore, I encourage you to not be disturbed for too long. According to Noel McInnes, frot and bubble as much as you want, but in due time, come back together. He was talking about water that froths and bubbles and become disorganized and chaotic and big waves, and right? But in due time, all of this must come back together in order to move us into that space of recognizing that this is all part of our varied experiences, right? So don't be too worried about how things passes and the movements around you. Just know that there is something within you that remains unmovable. And that is the joy of it, right? That love, that Love called God, and that God called life is unmovable. And we do everything around it. And when you can't do anything, just stand, just stop, and recognize that I am God. And come back to the very question I started off with. Act as though I am, and I will be. Bring out the qualities of God you want to permeate whatever you might be experiencing, and allow it to happen by stepping back, by breathing, by moving into a place of experiencing or anticipating a glorious experience of something happening bigger and better from the concept of life always exploding and becoming more of itself. Thank you so much.